Thankful for the privilege to be able to gather again this evening, look into the Word of the Lord. I'm thinking this evening of one of the greatest privileges that we have as Christians in our Christian walk with God, and that is the privilege of prayer. I'd like to just write that on the board, one word, and it's a powerful word if it's used right. There's a verse, I almost think one of the children maybe said it this morning, a verse that says, pray without ceasing. And there is other places in the Scripture where it tells us that Jesus Christ Himself departed from the multitudes and removed Himself to a place apart, that He might pray to His Father in heaven. And I have found in my own experience the truth of the song that says, prayer is the key. Prayer is the key. I remember when I was a teenager, I guess I was a teenager at that time, I saw a little saying. It was posted in somebody's car. I was in their car and they had it stuck on their dash, and it said, 7 days makes 1 week. And you all may have seen that too growing up. 7 days makes 1 week, W-E-E-K. And underneath it, it says 7 days without prayer makes 1 week, W-E-A-K. And I remember after that, Brother Leslie was commenting on that saying, and he said, well, I say 7 days without prayer makes one dead. You can probably hear Brother Leslie saying that. Prayer is important. Prayer is most certainly and indeed key to us being able to have power in our lives. It is that which connects us to the throne of God. It is a privilege that has been given to us where we are able to approach God and have communion with Him. I'd like to start, before we go much further, to just, as we do sometimes on Sunday nights, to define prayer. And maybe we can work together a little bit this evening. What does prayer mean to you? Who has thoughts on that? What word or phrase comes to your mind if you were to define prayer? What would it be? Talking to God. That was the first thing I had on my list, just exactly like that. Talking to God. All right, y'all, what else?
And that is a personal connection.
Personal connection. What else? Let's get a list up here.
Well, communion is a word.
Communion. Talking to God, it's a personal connection. Communion, it's an expression of our heart.
It's a plea.
Ah, that's a good one. It is a plea. Any other thoughts? Prayer.
Supplication is a word that's used in the Scriptures too.
Supplication. Well, you probably can't see down here, but I'll write it. Supplication.
Thanks or thanksgiving.
Do we not have that up here yet? We sure don't. Start over here again. Thanksgiving. about listening? Would that be one?
Isn't prayer, doesn't that also have to do with listening? Yes.
Intercession.
Say again?
Intercession.
Intercession.
Sometimes it's our very breath.
Say again?
Sometimes it's the very breath.
Oh, very, our very breath, yes.
Sometimes there's nothing else to say, but you have to, I don't know how to explain, I guess, but there's nothing really to say. It's just there.
When your heart's moving up to it.
There's a song, I think it's in our book, it says, kind of words are tears or silence.
Or silence. You know, Paul described it this way, the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us, that word with words that cannot be uttered. Because the Spirit knows our hearts. He knows our thoughts and our intents and our desires, and sometimes we don't even know how to put it into words. But the Spirit does, and we don't even have to talk sometimes, but He knows how to offer that up before the throne of God. That's a pretty good list.
Prayer without ceasing is not a state of mind.
State of mind.
I think that's a good one, another good one. State of mind. Probably come back to that one. Okay.
Talking to God. Personal connection, communion, expression of heart, plea, supplication, state of mind, thanksgiving, listening, conversation, intercession, breath. You know, in all of these instances, when we think about prayer is between us and God. I know sometimes, you know, the word prayer, can people use it as if somebody went to somebody else and prayed for forgiveness, prayed for help. It's a strong expression of a plea being made. But this evening we're talking about communication that takes place not between me and somebody else, not between me and myself, but a communication that is two-way. It's a conversation between me and God, between you and God. How should we pray? We about run out of space on the board, but we have a little bit more space. I'm not tall enough to get up than above, but what can we pray any way we want and it's effective? Just pray however you want. Is all kinds of prayer effective? Or is there a way that God would like us to pray, a more effective way to reach His throne? What do you think?
In Jesus' name.
What else, Brother Bob?
Well, I was going to say we need to be in singleness of heart and mind, focused on what we're, you know, and have a pure heart.
Unselfish. humbly. You know, there is a way that we can come boldly with humility.
And we've got the two words together. They look like they're almost clams, but they...
I've heard many testimonies of emergency situations where I just cried out in Jesus' name.
Mm-hmm. In Jesus' name.
Your brother just said that in messages.
Just cry out. You don't have a lot of other things to say, but in Jesus' name. I think we've got that one captured right here.
With expectation.
Oh, with expectation. Pray with expectation.
I know you're out of space, but you're saying there's some ways to pray. It gets a better result, I guess, what you're trying to say. Right? You're asking in some ways is what it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. So urgency, I guess. Fervent, or urgency about it.
Fervency. Urgency.
With tears of joy.
Say again, Brother Dub.
With tears of joy.
With tears of joy.
They might talk about crying to the Lord with joy, and the Lord be the feeling of the Lord hearing. Tears of joy.
Tears of joy.
How about often? I know that's a little bit along a different line. But how should we pray? We should pray often. Actually, somebody. This state of mind.
Without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. To live with a state of heart and a state of mind of prayer. So there's a reason why it's important to pray with fervency and urgency, with tears of joy, in Jesus' name, singleness of heart, unselfish mind, with humility, with expectation, coming boldly to the throne of grace, as the Scripture brings out. Because if we don't do this, because people, you can pray without doing this. You can pray with a lack of humility. We can go to the Lord and tell Him. We can just tell Him what needs to happen. Without a lot of humility, without recognizing who we are and who He is. We can pray. We can spend hours in prayer with no expectation at all. You know that's sad. I don't want to pray without expectation, but we can get in a rut of just praying. We can get in a rut of just saying words with no real expectation. We can pray without any fervency. We're just praying. It's a form. We know what words to say. You know, we've grown up in the church. We've grown up praying. Everybody here this evening, we've grown up praying. We know what prayer can sound like. And we can imitate that. We can mimic that. We can say words. But it doesn't mean that it's with fervency. It doesn't mean that it's with expectation. It doesn't mean that there is some emotion, some tears of joy, some thanksgiving that comes from our heart. We can pray with really a selfish point of view, where when we come before God, it's all about me and my temporal needs in my life. And we can forget completely about what it is that God is trying to accomplish in my life for the greater good. Or maybe helping somebody else through the hardship that he has given to me to bear, because perhaps he recognizes that you can bear it. And it's a load he asks us to carry for the good of somebody else. But if we come to the Lord in prayer and it's always about me, we can blow right past the will of God if we do that. In Jesus' name, isn't that how we were taught to pray? Invoking the Son of God? Not us, not what we have to offer, not our righteousness, not just because of what I've suffered, but because of Jesus. We have access to the throne of God tonight because of Jesus Christ. Because He came and He offered Himself a sacrifice that we could not offer. He made a way for us to be able to come to the throne of grace that we otherwise would not be able to enter into that place because of our unrighteousness. It's the reason why when the temple was created and the Lord designed it, it was designed where the Spirit of God would dwell in the holiest of holies, and man was not able to go into that place because of his unrighteousness. We could not approach God, person to person, or human being to God, the Godhead Himself. We couldn't do that, so there was a separation. But when Jesus died on the cross, when He said, "It is finished," and the veil in the temple, when He said, "It is finished," the Scripture said, the veil in the temple was rent. And the Spirit of God went out of the holiest of holies, went out into a world and made opportunity for whosoever will would be able to experience the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, and gave us access by grace to be able to come before the throne of God and pray from our hearts directly. Don't have to go through a priest. Don't have to go through the Pope. Don't have to go through somebody else. But because of Jesus Christ, because of His name, because of His righteousness, where He came and said, "You are not worthy, but because of my sacrifice, I invite you to come before the throne of God, where you can boldly make your request known to find grace and obtain mercy and help in time of need because of Jesus Christ." Isn't that wonderful? If we had to be perfect in of ourselves to be able to go before the throne of God, there's not a one of us here this evening that would be able to go before God and ask for the help that we need, because we're unworthy. We are unrighteous. We do not have that it takes, would be required to stand before God without being consumed. But because of Jesus, thank the Lord, we can do that. I'd like to look in the 6th chapter of Matthew. Jesus taught us how to pray in this place. And in the 5th verse, He said in Matthew 6 and 5, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." What is the purpose again of praying? Is the purpose of praying to be able to communicate with other people, or to be able to communicate with God? It's to be able to communicate with God, isn't it? If our purpose is to communicate with God, then how effective is it going to be where we have this side purpose of being seen and heard of man? And in fact, that's really the reason why we're praying. We go and we say words that sounds like, on the one hand, we're communicating with somebody, but on the other hand, that's not who we're communicating with at all. We're there to make an impression on the people around us. Have you ever been talking with somebody before and you start to sense that they're talking to you, but they're not focused on you? Have you ever had that happen to you? It makes you feel kind of odd, doesn't it? When all of a sudden you realize their mouth's moving, but their mind and their heart is somewhere else. And how does it make you feel? Does it make you feel closer to the person? Does it make you feel like you're having a meaningful conversation? No, it doesn't me. And I'll turn it around. Have you ever been guilty of that? We probably all have done that before. We are talking to somebody. I've done it. And then sometimes you realize what you're doing. May God help us in our communication with other people to give people personal attention. That was up here somewhere. I didn't write it down. Personal communion. Personal connection. God feels the same way. And He's God. He's not a person. He's not a human being. He's not the created. He's the creator. And so how does God feel if we come before Him and we start praying to Him and yet our purpose of prayer is for everybody else around us, and that's where our focus is? And perhaps that was our intent all along, was to be heard. Well, the Lord said, don't do that. Don't be as the hypocrites that's their purpose, just to be seen. But He said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Again, when you come before God in prayer, pray with fervency. Pray with a sense of urgency. Pray with humility. This singleness of heart. Pray with singleness of heart to be able to reach the throne of God. If you are literally approaching a king, in other words, you are in the king's hall, and his soldiers are standing along the sides, and you're walking down the red carpet, however they used to do it, and you are approaching the king, the man that holds mercy and judgment in his hand. He can give you mercy, or he can have your life taken. Do you think that your mind would be pretty centered? Pretty focused? Do you think you'd be thinking about whether you were going to have fish or beef for dinner tonight? Or are you going to be thinking about, am I going to go to Walmart this afternoon, or maybe I'll wait and do that tomorrow? And all the while you're walking down to do business with the king. Do you think that's how that would go down? Probably not. What about when we bow in prayer before the Almighty God? Did you know that the Lord wants us to come before Him recognizing our great need, recognizing who we are and who He is? He's God. And I'm not endeavoring to preach above where I live, and I will readily confess to you this evening that there have been times, more than once and more than twice and more than three times, when I have had to stop praying and start all over again. because I found that all of a sudden my mind was somewhere completely different than praying to God in heaven. Sometimes repentance is in order. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm human. I'm just a man. Lord, help me to recognize my great need of You. Help me, Lord, to humble myself down and recognize that I am coming before the presence of the Creator. And the Lord's merciful to us. But let's be careful when we pray. Let's be careful to pull in our hearts and our minds, shut the door, go into our closet, go into private. That said here, shut the door and pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Let's do what we can to separate ourselves for a little while with all the things of life that push in around us. Sometimes we wonder, well, why aren't our prayers answered? You mean why your words weren't answered, or why the urgency and fervency of your heart didn't seem to be answered? Because sometimes I feel like we say a lot of things that represent what we want, but sometimes we can miss the mark from a long ways of going to God with singleness of heart, with humility, with fervency and the sense of urgency that God would like us to have, and come before Him with tears of joy, with thanksgiving, with, Lord, thank You for what You have done for me. Thank You, Lord, for all of the blessings that You have bestowed upon me, whereof I am unworthy. Thank You, Lord. And I believe that the Lord is pleased when we come before Him in this manner. He said here, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven. You see how he started the prayer? Recognizing who we were praying to. Not praying to somebody on earth. Praying to God in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed be thy name, Lord. And it helps set up everything that comes after. Lord, You are God, and I am but dust. I am but part of the earth, and You are God in heaven. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Lord, I am part of the earth. Lord, I want Your will to be done in my life as Your will is done in heaven. Again, this is at the front part of the prayer. Lord, I recognize You are God. Hallowed be Thy name. And Lord, whatever comes next, Lord, I pray that Your will would be done in my life. I may be off base, Lord, in the request that I make, because I don't understand, because I'm not God in heaven. But Lord, You are God in heaven. And my prayer is, Lord, that Your will would be done in my life, just as it is in heaven. Forgive us of our debts, because, Lord, I have so much in my life that needs to be forgiven of. I cannot approach You, Lord, with my own righteousness. But Lord, I am approaching You asking for forgiveness. Lord, help me to forgive others of their debts. Lord, I'm apt to be tempted. Please help deliver me from temptation and evil. Lord, Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's be genuine people of prayer. Let's purpose in our hearts as Christians to approach God with all of these attributes that we've been able to write on the board, let's put them in practice. If we don't do this, how will our lives be blessed of God? How can they be blessed? How will our services be blessed? If we don't come before the Lord with fervency of heart, if we don't come before Him recognizing who we are and who He is, if we don't push out all of the things of the world that crowd in around us and approach the Lord with singleness of heart and with thanksgiving, what will prompt God in heaven to come visit us in our services? We have a part to play. We have a responsibility. Prayer is a wonderful privilege that the Lord has given to us. And I don't want to take that privilege lightly. Oh yeah, I'm just going to go. I'll go pray to God real quick. Tell him what it is that I need in my life, and rush headlong into having a rather selfish prayer without considering His will and what He might be trying to work in my life. But when we come before God with humility and with a true state of mind and heart that, Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. Here are my requests. Lord, this cup right here, if there's any way it could pass for me. Lord, this affliction I'm in. Lord, this place in life. Lord, this need that I have. This is where I'm at. And Lord, you made provision for me to be able to come before Your throne and bring this request to You. Thank You, Lord. Not my will, Lord, but Thine be done. I believe we would find more of our prayers answered. I believe we would experience more times when God comes down and fills our cup to overflowing. It's easy not to practice this in life because we are busy people. There are many things that compete for space in our minds. Sometimes it can be hard to push those things out and come to God in a way that He wants us to. This evening, let's endeavor to pray without ceasing. Come before the Lord and live our lives in a state of worship to Him. That while we are living life, we are doing it in a way where we are always in a place close to where our Creator is. I want to be able to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to listen to what He has to say to me. Sometimes it's valuable to come before the Lord and bow down and close our minds out and just listen. Just listen. Lord, what do You have to say to me today? And I believe that if we do this, God will be faithful to meet us, to hear our prayers, to touch our hearts, to help us feel the closeness of His Spirit. Without it, our relationship will be empty. Our prayers will just be a form. They'll just be words. We won't have power in our lives. And we'll be disappointed. God wants us to be fulfilled. He wants us to experience answers to our prayers. He wants us to feel His closeness when we come before Him. Let's be challenged with these thoughts tonight. I desire your prayers that I too would learn to pray in a way that the Lord is pleased with and willing to answer. Amen.